The Germans in the Western zones consciously avoided the choice of Frankfurt or of Cologne. Cologne was heavily devastated during the Second World War. Or Hamburg, the largest city in Western Germany. Or Munich, in many ways, which would become the secret capital of this new West German state. They chose instead the town of Bonn on the Rhine, south of Cologne. They chose it very self-consciously because it was a city without even German stature as a political center. It had no European claim to any sort of status as a political or administrative center. The very choice of Bonn was made to emphasize the transitional, the improvisational, the temporary quality of this new German political entity. In October of 1949, the Soviet-supported German Democratic Republic, the DDR, was founded with its capital in East Berlin. By 1949, then, a divided Germany existed in the heart of an increasingly divided Europe. The German problem that had so bedeviled Europe seemed to have been solved in one way by this division. There was not one German state, but two. Disunity, after all, many would argue inside of Germany and on the outside. The history of Germany, the legacy of Germany, was division. There had not been a united German state until 1871, and now, once again, there were not two German states, but I suppose technically one could say three, with Austria, West Germany, and East Germany. It was part of a political joke of the 1920s, would reemerge in the late 40s and early 50s of a French politician who said, "Of course I like Germany. I like Germany so much I don't want to see one Germany. I want to see two, maybe even three." Certainly, this division of Germany was one possible solution to the German question, which seemed to have led to the two world wars of the 20th century. But the status of Germany and the status of Berlin still remained question marks. They continued to be a source of tension in the post-war world. Indeed, the Berlin crisis of 1960-61, the building of the Berlin Wall, which in so many ways came to symbolize the division of Europe. This was not an iron curtain, but a concrete curtain that had descended around the western sections of Berlin and captured the symbolism, certainly, of the divided Germany, the divided continent. Indeed, Europe was now divided into two armed camps. The Western Allies had created in 1949 NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, an organization to meet the perceived military threat of the Soviet Union. NATO was headquartered in Paris, under an American commander. NATO was an institutional guarantee to the Europeans that the United States would maintain its military presence in Europe. The United States would not follow the course of American policy after the Great War in 1919, when the United States had retreated into isolationism, had not been a part of European security or diplomatic arrangements in the 1920s, and many believed had therefore been contributed to the instability of the international system in the interwar years. NATO would guarantee an American presence. It would guarantee an American commitment to Europe. It would provide a nuclear shield over Western Europe. The American presence, even if it was not going to be an enormous military presence, other military contingents would outnumber the Americans over time. The American presence was a tripwire. Any Soviet attempt to change the status of Western Europe would encounter an American presence and draw the United States into any sort of conflict. In 1955, the Federal Republic of Germany, West Germany, achieved sovereign status as a state and was admitted to NATO shortly thereafter. I think it is a reflection of the sea change in European mentality, a sea change in the politics of the period, the Cold War's emergence after the Second World War, that a German army could be recreated within 10 years after the collapse of the Wehrmacht in Berlin, and that a German military force would be welcomed in a Western alliance.